It is a place in downtown Fresno where Christ leads, where people care, and where lives are changed. That place, the Evangel Home of Fresno, ministering to women and children in crisis since 1955. And this is the radio voice of the Evangel Home. Welcome to Heartline. Your host here on Heartline is Jim Tuck, this guy right here.
Thanks, Ken. We appreciate your work as always. As we come into Jerry Brenneman's office, turn on our little portable handheld recording device and begin to tell a story. Jerry Brenneman is here. She's the director of all things Evangel Home. My voice is a little rough. I've got some allergy issues, but I feel okay. Jerry, boy, it's hard to know where to start. We're going to tell the story of Elena, but Elena won't be talking to us. So I'm just going to kind of turn this over to you to talk with our guest, and if I need to jump in or if think of something, I will. But you make the introductions, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. I want to say that we have an adorable, beautiful 4-day-old baby in a carrier on my floor, and we have her very brave mother sitting right next to us. And all of a sudden, Jim, I just had this thought of this baby who's only 4 days old, and the life it has lived in 9 months. Wow. I'm just trying to imagine the baby's perspective of her 9 months in her mother's womb. Jennifer has been in the Evangel Home one day. And that's not the kind of person that we usually go and say, hey, let's be on the radio, because we kind of like to know a little bit about the people before we get them. Otherwise, you and I remember one of our best questions to someone we didn't know real well was, what was she going to do when she left here to stay connected with God? And she said she was going to join a bowling team.
Yes.
We always kind of went, oh. And so when you interview someone you really don't know, you run a little greater risk. And so I saw Jennifer this morning. It's very quiet in the home. And I asked her if she would be brave enough to tell her story, whatever it is. And she started to unravel some of the reasons that got her here. And, Jim, it's like she is a tumbleweed of every issue that we hear about, either socially or in here, that gets women homeless or puts them in an opportunity and a place where they never have a chance. So as she told her story about Elena's father has been deported. So we had the immigration issue and some other stuff going on there. Then when she talked about where she was, and the people there wanted her out doing prostitution. So then we have prostitution, sex traffic, or whatever you want to call it. And in the meantime, here's this baby that's been bouncing around in there through all this. Jennifer has been on the streets. As we record, it's early in December. She's been on the streets since July. You and I think just a week ago or so, talked about the people on the streets with the signs that say, I'm homeless, give me money. Jennifer, and I always say the women who come in here, for the most part, are never on the street corners with those signs. That is true also of Jennifer. She was not doing that because she knows she was truly homeless. She wasn't going to stand there and draw attention to herself with a sign. So again, I just offer that to people who think they're helping people on the street corner with the signs. You're not. You're giving them money so that they can continue doing what they're doing. Jennifer has got every kind of issue that in some ways people go, oh, wow, that's overwhelming, or I'd really prefer to help someone that doesn't have quite such a hard story. But Jennifer is, in a way, a Christmas story. And I look at her and I think, wow, if Jesus gets a hold of her, and she's walked with him off and on through the years, what an incredibly powerful testimony she will have. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, Jim, as we talked, you know, just briefly before you came, I was just hoping that she would be brave enough to tell any of her story, what it was. And she's telling me all this and I'm going, whoa. And then, of course, I said, I'm sure there's drug use behind all this, which, of course, there is. There's meth use. So you add that, and you have a hellish hold on a soul. Yeah. And here's Jennifer, though, still kicking and screaming for something better than what she's had.
Let's back up a little bit. Jennifer, you grew up here in the Central Valley, out in the country in Easton area. Is that correct?
Yes, about 10 minutes south of Easton in the middle of nowhere, yes.
And you actually attended church there with a neighbor.
Yes, I went to Emmanuel Lutheran Church from the time I was six. I started going with the Scheitz. They lived next door to us.
Okay. And was your home a happy home?
No, not really.
Okay. When did the substance abuse begin?
6 years old.
Six? What kind of substance?
Methamphetamines. We lived out in the middle of nowhere. My mom was crazy. She started putting like trace meth and cups of coffee and giving it to me so that way I can stay up and play cards and dice with her at the age of six.
I hardly know what to say.
That just adds one more layer to what I said about the story of Jennifer. Is everything you could think that could go wrong has gone wrong. I mean, that is just totally... Jennifer, you're almost presenting a hopeless case. But I don't believe that at all, because I look at your eyes and I see fight.
Well, and I heard her say she doesn't have friends because her former friends are all in drugs.
Yeah.
And her family has rejected her because of drugs. She has no support system.
She's in Never Never Land. You know, she's a woman without a country.
Yeah. So did you finish high school?
Yes, I graduated high school.
Okay.
I did some college.
Okay. Now, you've got Elena, and you have two other children. One of them's nine, one is two. Were you ever married?
No.
And at some point, the drug usage meant you had no place. You lived with someone who wanted you to prostitute yourself.
Well, after my boyfriend got deported, the people that we were staying with tried to force me into prostitution. I refused to do it, so that's when they kicked me out, and that's when I became homeless.
And that was last July?
Yes.
Tell me about life on the street.
What can I say about life on the streets? Sometimes I felt like I was just surviving. I wasn't even really surviving, just staying alive, just kept moving. I didn't want to draw attention to myself. I didn't want to hold a sign because I didn't want people noticing that this girl is halfway decent looking out there alone. That's like putting me at a target to get raped or worse. So I hid and just kept going.
And at what point did you decide I want to change?
I don't even know how to answer that one.
You might not have come to that point yet where you want to change, but you came to a point where you knew you needed help.
I came to the point where I was tired. It took me like all of 4 days where it came to the point where I was just tired of, and I didn't. That's when I stopped talking to everyone I knew that did drugs. That's when I really, really, just sort of like tuned out everything and just kept going and just kept going. Like, I don't know, kind of like one of those wind up toy soldiers.
Yeah, that's
what I felt like.
So literally just one foot in front of the other one day at a time.
Literally.
Okay. How have you been feeding yourself?
I got food stamps.
Okay. Now, you. How long were you in the hospital with Elena?
I was in the hospital with Elena from Sunday until Wednesday. That hospital actually put in to let me stay an extra day so that way I can get into the Evangelo home, because the Evangelo home couldn't take me in the day that I was scheduled to be released.
Okay, now here's one of my favorite questions that I ask almost everybody who comes into the crisis home. You knocked on the pink door or walked in that front door, and you looked around and you thought...
I actually thought that this was like, this doesn't look as bad as I thought, because I was scared. I thought it was going to be like this place full of drug addict women, and it was going to be a nightmare because I've been avoiding drug addicts hardcore, trying to stay sober. So I was terrified I was going to be locked in this house full of drug addicts. And I came here, and the house looks nice. All the women are friendly. It was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, we keep hearing it looks like a home.
Yes, it does. It very much looks like a home. I very much feel comfortable and actually was able to relax and sleep a little bit last night.
And even though she's in a place where not all the women are as friendly as we would hope, and some of them struggle with one or two of the issues Jennifer has had, it is a safe place because it's supervised. And everyone, while they're here, at least buys into the rules. Some people might not like them, but everyone at least is committed to that extent so that you can create a safe community. And that's, yeah, I keep thinking of being out on the street now. I cannot imagine it. Just with the weather, the temperature, the, wow. So anyway, back to Jennifer. Jennifer, what kind of help do you want?
I want to help staying away from drug addicts and so I can get a place. I want to go back to school and finish my veterinary degree. That's what I want.
Have you ever had any rehab?
No.
So you've been a drug addict basically since you were 6 years old?
Off and on, yes.
And maybe you can't do it by yourself.
I'm afraid of that.
So if while you're here, you decide, okay, I'll get an apartment, I'll start over, do you think that's going to work?
I think it could.
What would be different this time?
Doing it on my own with help from God instead of negative.
And you know that won't be enough. As you say it, I know you don't believe it. So you're at a real crossroads. You really need to make some tough decisions. And you've got time to do it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I think, as scary as it may sound, I think that I'm going to have to stay in a longer program. Have to go in a longer program.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Whether it's here or not, I think you just said it.
Yeah.
You've got to make some change. You got to have some people that can get down into that six-year-old soul.
My entire life has been around. Drugs have been part of my entire life. So I have to relearn how to live, essentially.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, we're down to the last 45 seconds or so. Quick observation, Jerry?
She just said a bundle of truth, her entire story of how what a mess, and for her to at least say she knows really she can't do it on her own.
Yeah.
That's a huge step, Jennifer. And I hope that there is some way we can help turn this woman around, and she picks up Elena, and that child has a better chance.
The pebbles in the pond. Now we look for the changes and watch the ripples. So, friends, be praying for Jennifer and for Elena.
Yes.
Be praying for Evangel Home. And the fact of the matter is we need your support, starting with prayer. But finances, everything, supplies in your home, paper goods, food, we really need help all the time. So give us a call and ask how, 264-4714. Jennifer, thank you. I admire your courage being here. And Ken, thank you so much. It's your turn to make this dialogue or trialogue into another edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno reached him by phone in the 559 area code, 264-4714. Round the clock from anywhere on the face of the earth with an internet connection, find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. And join us again next time, same station, for the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, Heartline.